Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Rabbi James Jacobson Mizels discusses Bechukotai. Rabbi James Jacobson Mizels is a member of the Pardes faculty. His focus is Jewish mysticism. And now, Rabbi James Jacobson Mizels.
Thank you, Larry. Parsha this week is Parsha Bechukotai. And we'll be looking at a drasha by the Rebbe of Pizetzner, Rebbe Kolon Mishkalma Shapira, also known as the Eish Kodesh, from his work, The Eish Kodesh, a series of drashot written in the Warsaw Ghetto during the war. Parsha Bechukotai was given, at least, delivered on May 25th, 1940, still in early days of the ghetto. And he describes here the relationship that Hashem wants to create with each individual person, each Jew and the Jewish people, even in times of great difficulty. And so he begins with a verse from our Parsha. Upaniti aleichem v'ifreiti etchem v'irbeiti etchem v'akimoti et b'riti etchem v'achaltem yashan noshan v'yashan mipnei chadash totziu v'natati mishkani b'tochachem v'lo tigal nafshi etchem v'itadlachti b'tochachi v'item lachem l'alokim v'atem tiuli la'am. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Yotzeit Itchem Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Miot Lachem Avadim, V'ashpor Motot Oleichem, V'olech Etchem Kumiyut. I will look with favor upon you, and make you fertile and multiply you, and I will maintain my covenant with you. You shall eat old grain long stored, and you shall have to clear out the old to make room for the new. I will establish my abode in your midst, and I will not spurn you. I will be ever present in your midst. I will be your God, and you shall be my people. I, Hashem, am your God, who brought you out from the land of the Egyptians to be their slaves no more, who broke the bars of your yoke and made you walk erect. And in particular, he contrasts the beginning, I will look with favor upon you, and the end, which is, I will break the bars of your yoke and make you walk erect. And as in typical style of a Hasidic drasha in his style, he opens with the verse and then he moves on to something completely different. And one of our questions will be, how is he going to make his way back to this opening verse? Hinei b'Shabbat ha'avar dikdaknu al shematchila omeret Knesset Yisrael ani ledodi v'dodi li shekfar hu li v'chal kach ani ledodi v'alai tshukato shene'ek ilu rak tshukato yiparach aleinu. So he says, last Shabbat we already talked about this problem, which is that at first it says in Shir HaShirim, earlier in Shir HaShirim it says multiple times, Ani ledodi v'dodi li, I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. That is Knesset Yisrael. Israel is saying, I am beloved of God, I am for my beloved God, and my beloved is to me, my beloved is mine. That God is already ours, that this relationship of God being ours is already pre-existent. But then afterwards it says, Ani ledodi v'alai tshukato. I am for my beloved, and on me, towards me, is his desire. And it's interesting, because you would think that the desire would come before the possession. That is, first there's desire, there's awakening, there's some kind of relationship, and then we say, we belong to each other. We're made for each other. We're essentially connected. But the desire seems to be a secondary effect. So why is it that we say first, God is ours, and only afterwards we say that God's desire is for us? And it also seems to imply, as the Pizetzner asks, that only God's desire is for us, and in fact, we don't have desire towards God. So this is the puzzle we're starting with. V'chutz mima she'amarnu az, efshar lomar b'ofen acher, ki yesh od ledakdek lama ketiv v'alai tshukato, she'at tzrich lomar ve'eli v'chulei, k'mo she'katuv ve'elecha tshukato. So he says, in addition to what we said last time, we can read this in another way, which is that we also have to ask the question, why does it say his desire is on me, ayin lamed yud? Why is it on me? His desire is upon me. Why doesn't it say his desire is for me or to me or towards me? Aleph lamed yud, right? Just as it says, for instance, in the case of Cain, in the case of Cain in Genesis, that sin desires Cain. Ba'alecha tshukato. Right, that the sin is desiring Cain. So, how come when it's speaking about the desire of God, it says upon me rather than to me? Avam mitchila k'shani ledodi v'dodi li, sh'ayadeh tshuka shelanu, sh'ani ledodi, hu yibarach mitkarev aleinu. He says, well, in the beginning, when it says, I am for my beloved, I am my beloved, is mine, that through the desire of ours, that is, that I am for my beloved, that the fact that I start by saying I am my beloved, this indicates a desire on our part for the divine. Through this desire of ours, God is drawn close to us. Hashem is drawn close to us. And therefore, God comes close to us only to the extent, to the ability of our desire for God, our ability to draw down this closeness of the Blessed Divinity. So there's a parallel here. The first verse of Anila Dodiva Dodili is saying, to the extent that we desire God and we put ourselves out towards God, that we're vulnerable, that we're ready to be with the divine, that we desire that connection with the divine, to that very extent, Hashem responds to us and is drawn down to us. There's a very powerful reciprocal relationship here. But when a person gives himself multiple times, once, twice, etc., to the divine, not just once, but he continually gives himself to the divine, as gam shukoto yibarach mitoreret aleinu, then actually God's desire is also aroused towards us. So it's not simply reciprocal, but something greater starts to happen. And then it becomes this, his desire is upon me, it is over me, rather than his desire is to me. Hachuka shelo, hamshecha shelo ayadei hachuka shelanu bivad, v'zeh shekatuv alai. This desire of his, of God's, which is a pulling down of his desire, which is not simply a reflection of our desire. It's not simply produced by our desire. It's an independent act by the divine. And this is called upon me. V'lo eli bilvad, k'mayim apanim apanim lafi yecholti, and not simply to me, like the verse says in Psalms, like a face reflecting a face, right? It's not just this issue of reflection and mirroring. There is this mirroring, which is very powerful. That is, when we put ourselves forward, God responds in kind. But actually, when we continually put ourselves forward, when we're continually willing to be vulnerable, we're continually willing to awaken to our desire for liberation, for closeness to God, for connection, then there's actually some kind of greater response in return. And it's interesting because it seems like there's kind of a developing of trust in our relationship between ourselves and God. As if in some ways it takes God time to trust us, to develop the relationship, the vulnerability of the divine. At first, the divine is simply willing to mirror, and we can see that in our own relationships. We extend in some ways and people are willing to mirror back, and we extend and people are willing to mirror back, and it happens the other way as well. They extend and we mirror back. But then at some point, because a certain basis of trust has been developed, it's no longer that kind of give and take. It's no longer simply a mirroring process. But each party starts to be willing to go beyond and above what they've received already. And this is how Hashem responds now when we're willing to give ourselves over and over again. The Bizetzner continues, Rak alai hayoter gdola mimeni. Rather, upon me or over me, that which is greater than me. It's not only that his desire is greater than me, it's not only that God desires us in a way which is beyond our capacity or understanding. Rak gam ani mitgadel yoter mi'atzmutai, kivan shoti hu yibarach mishtokek b'tshuka gdola mimeni, v'nitgadel ali lamala me'ha'etzem sheli. Rather, I am increased or made greater, I am made more than myself, I am made greater than myself. Because it is me that God desires, that one wants, in a desire which is greater than me. Because this desire exceeds me, so I begin to exceed myself. And I am greatened, I am made excessive, beyond and above the essence of me, beyond and above that sense of self. So when God desires me, when we receive that response which sort of overwhelms and overcomes us, the real beauty in that moment is not simply the reception of that divine love, that overpowering love, but that the reception of that love actually makes us greater than we are. We are able to move even beyond our essence, beyond our sense of self. And so there's a self-transcendence which happens here, a movement beyond those small boundaries of the self, beyond that feelings of separation of me being me and you being you, of the sense of responsibility for myself, of the focus only on my own pain and experience. Rather, a self-transcendence through the love of the other, which is beyond you. This unconditional divine love, which exceeds us and overwhelms us, and in doing so helps us to move beyond ourselves. And of course, it's not just a divine-human relationship. It's something that we all have the capacity to experience in our lives. Maybe we've been touched by somebody whose love was just so deep and overwhelming that it made us see that we were so much greater than who we thought we were. In the eyes of the beloved, who granted us a love which is so far beyond some small sense of a separate self, some small sense of individuality, but rather was this profound sense of connection through love to the other, to all the other beings out there and to the world, we realized there was something greater and larger than our sense of separation or our sense of alienation. There was something deeper that connected us all. And the Pizetzner continues, V'efshar zehu ha'inyan she'amar Rabbi Akiva, kol yimai hiti mitzta'er, ha'pasuk zeh. That is, Rabbi Akiva, when he is going to be martyred, and his students ask him, you know, how can this be the reward for Torah? Like, to this extent, this is what Torah brings you, to get martyred? And Rabbi Akiva responds, he says, you know, my whole life, it troubled me, it pained me, this verse, that we say in the Shema, that you should love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That is, even to the extent that you're ready to give up your soul. All my life it's pained me that I haven't been able to fulfill it, and finally I have this opportunity to fulfill this verse. But, as the Pizetzner points out, it's a strange response. V'lama haya lo od litzta'er al zeh? Why should he be pained because of this? V'im kadai laso ratzon Hashem, halo, haya mekayem ratzon Hashem, b'torah tefila mitzvot, v'chulei. Because if the whole goal is fulfilling, if it's worthwhile to fulfill the will of God, so he could fulfill the will of God in Torah, and tefila in prayer, and in mitzvot, etc. V'lafila im zot mitzvah, hayo ter gdola mim kol makom, shelo ana Hashem oto liyado. Rak mitzvot avodot acherot, ano lama hitzta'er. So he said, okay, maybe this is a very great mitzvah, maybe it's greater than other mitzvahs, but if God hasn't caused it to sort of come to pass for him, and it hasn't happened the opportunity to fulfill that mitzvah, but other mitzvahs and other kinds of services have made themselves available to him, why should he be pained about this? It's just following God's will and God's plan. So he said, perhaps, concerning what's mentioned above, it's possible that it's connected to this other statement of Rabbi Akiva's, which he says at the end of the Mishnayot of Yoma, happy are you, Israel, before whom are you purified? And who purifies you? Your Father who is in heaven. Shemitchila Yisrael mitaheret atzmo, va'az Hashem mitaherotto. That is, what happens, he says. First, the Israelite, the Jew, starts the process of purification, and then God responds by purifying him. It's the same process we saw above. First, Israel turns to God with this desire by saying, I am God's. And then God responds with God's desire. And it has such great power, works to such an extent, that Hashem therefore sanctifies him and purifies him in this aspect of his desires upon me or over me or above me or beyond me. And this happened to such an extent for Rabbi Akiva that he was made so much greater than himself, so that he desired some kind of great service, a service which was actually greater than himself, a giving over of himself, a kind of annihilation of himself, to such an extent that he was pained that he had not yet had the opportunity to fulfill it. So he explains that Rabbi Akiva went through this process because he, through his process of purification himself, and the divine response of purification to him, he is transformed and he is self-transcended. And in that, he wants to achieve an even greater service. And so this transcendence here is very interesting. It's not a transcendence, it's not an inaccessible transcendence, but rather it's the sense of God inhabiting a beyond. where we cannot take ourselves, but in our surrendering to and taking the first step towards the divine can take us to that beyond where we could not go on our own. And so our spiritual practice here, as the Pisetzner describes it, is often a kind of preparation or a working towards that place. It's this preparation of desire, of purification, which makes us available and open to that moment of divine transcendence. It's a practice really of grace in that sense, of connecting to something, of being open to the connection to something that pulls us beyond ourselves. Like, I don't know, a rope hanging from a helicopter. You know, we have to be able to jump high enough to reach the rope, but then the helicopter actually pulls us into the skies. The helicopter saves us from the waters in which we might be drowning, right? And so there's a sense of that movement, that initial movement of ourselves, but then connecting to something greater and being pulled beyond ourselves. And Rabbi Akiva did this in a particular important way. As the Pisetzner continues, he says, "Va'onir mazlanu bezek kol yamai." He says, what's the hint? What's the meaning of this phrase, all my days? Because there are moments, and even more extended times, moments or maybe even hours, good times for every year. That is, there are moments of inspiration, of enlightenment, of awakening, of connection, of seeing the divine. Everybody has that. Rabbi Akiva remez, kol yamai v'chulei avodato hatova gama tshuka l'misirat nafsho lo rak b'ragiyim v'sho'ot hayta ach kol yamai. The level of Rabbi Akiva was that it wasn't just these isolated moments, these peak experiences where he felt that experience. Rather, it was all his days. He had this constant desire for connection and awakening and the constant awareness of the possibility of connecting to that which was beyond him. And so this aspect of, I am for my beloveds, I belong to my beloveds, I am giving myself over to my beloved. A person has to give, a person has to fulfill that aspect in everything he or she does. Reishit kol shechayama Torah u'mitzvot b'machshava dibur v'maaseh. First of all, that he will do his religious life. He'll fulfill the Torah, he'll do the mitzvot, in thought, speech, and action, in a completely integrated way, in a way that is fully present with himself. And he should also know that this is actually his essence and his purpose in life, that he should fulfill the Torah and the mitzvot, and he should be an Israelite, he should be a Jew. That's really the fundamental commitment, is to be who you are. And for this, God created him. We're not just talking about somebody who Torah is his profession, somebody who can spend all of his days learning. But also someone, like most of us, who has to work and deal with business, etc. most of the hours of the day. That's what he does most of his time. And just a few times, a few hours a day, sometime a day, he's able to busy himself with Torah and with prayer. So this isn't restricted in any way to scholars. This experience of total commitment is actually possible for anybody at any moment when they're pursuing these aspects of Avodat Hashem, of the worship and service of God, of spiritual practice. And even the Pisetzner will say elsewhere, in the midst of those things which don't seem necessarily like spiritual practice, in the midst of our work. So at every time, even if he's only doing it sometimes, this service of the divine, this Torah, and this tefillah, this prayer, can be his purpose, his life's purpose. And to it, to this work itself, he will give his complete self, all his essence. Because, for example, a person only spends, you know, maybe 1 hour in every 24 hours in eating. And in any case, it's still essential for him, right? Even though he's actually working and working in his business most of the day. Still, the eating part is absolutely essential, right? Even more essential than somebody's in the business. B'chol atzmeinu tzrichim liten otanu elav yiparach. And so with our entire selves, there's this process of giving ourselves over to the divine. It's a complete surrender. Just this complete surrender to the divine, which is responded with by this overwhelming love of the divine. U'biprat shechas v'shalom eitzara, and especially when it is a time of pain, a time of difficulty. Tzrichim ledat shezuchim anu lishuatenu shel atzmeinu, lo b'tor anashim levad, rak b'tor yudim. We need to know that we require this salvation of ourselves, not only as human beings, but also as Jews. And everything is dependent on God, and without Him there's no salvation. But when the Israelite, the Jew, gives himself to God, may He be blessed, then He causes this God's desire being upon me, above me, to come into effect. We get overwhelmed by the divine love. And so this Allah, this upon me, is above me, is beyond me. That we too are matured, we are exceeded, we are made greater, and we ascend both in spirituality and in our bodily, corporeal life. And so we respond to pain with this deep desire for connection. The response back from God is the salvation of God's love, which allows us to actually transcend, rise, develop, and grow, the Pizetzer claims here, in the midst of this suffering. L'chena pasuk omer mitchila upaniti elechem. And therefore, the verse opens, he says, with this phrase, and I sort of turned towards you, or I turned my face towards you. Paniti aleichem. And it particularly stresses it's aleichem with the aleph at the beginning, that is, to you. I turn to you. That is, kamayim panim al panim kafi atzmechem. That is, this turning to you, like water sees a face to a face, it mirrors a face back to him. This paniti is like this panim, right? It is the mirroring of the face. According to yourself, according to what you are, I respond, I mirror you. That's this phrase in the verse, Aleichem. V'aleichem b'chinat paniti, right? V'char kach mesayem, v'olech etchem kumumiyut. And he ends by saying, and I made you walk erect. Kumumiyut. Shagam ata titgadlu tiniskar lamala. That is, what's the end? The end part is that I make you walk in a way which is erect, which is beyond what you were before, which is self-transcending. And this is the bechina alai. This is the bechina of upon me, above me, over me, this self-transcendence. So the Bezetzner presents us here with quite a challenge. He tells us that if we're willing to respond to the experience of separation in our life, the experience of loss, the experience of pain, with a commitment to connection, a commitment to love, a commitment to purification, a commitment to opening, then what we can receive in return is something which is beyond. If we're able to respond in this way, then there's a response from the divine, the response from the universe and the world, which is greater than we could have imagined. And in that response, we're able sometimes actually to move beyond ourselves, to achieve something greater and wider and wiser than we normally have access to.
Thank you, Rabbi. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated, so please send an email to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.